You know, I come from the old school where preachers don't drink water. They're supposed to drink water at the well. But anyway, times change, don't they? Praise the Lord. It's a real joy to be here this morning, needless to say, and to see all the familiar faces of the great strength and courage of this church. And then, of course, to recognize the fact that so many have come, and all of you are just doing a tremendous job for the Lord, I know. I'm attending my brother's church on Sunday mornings out on 2978. My brother moved in some years ago to rebuild a little church out there in the country between Tomball and Conroe. And after about four or five months ago completing the new church, it is too small a church. And everybody is bothered about that fact. just a few weeks, they have they're running average of 70 people on Wednesday nights, and then on Sunday mornings now, averaging over 100. It is just miraculous. It is just glorious what the Lord is doing. And out there in the pine trees of Montgomery County, praise the Lord. Brother, there's room for another good church out there. You'll keep that in mind, won't you? You won't tell Pastor Durham, will you? But it's good to be back for this occasion, and I tell you for sure that when Brother Durham called and left message at Klein Funeral Home for me, I worked there considerably, part-time work there, and said on the note, it said urgent call and so forth. I could tell you what I thought of immediately. But it's good to see all the great old saints of God still intact this morning. Praise the Lord. I want to call your attention first to the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. While you're turning there, I preached last Sunday in Arlington, Texas, both services for Jonathan Schultz and his sweet wife. And what a beautiful little church they have there in Arlington. The name of it is Oakland Assemblies of God. And it was just a blessed time. Sitting back, waiting to be introduced, I just couldn't believe my eyes as I saw this kid raised up in our church here at Glad Tidings. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing and how well he did the platform. I mean, it's just a great blessing. If you're in the Arlington area sometime, you'd certainly be blessed to go by and see Jonathan and his sweet wife. From the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. Oh, we'll start at the 11th verse. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh in Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Should immediately appear. He said, therefore, I suppose he knew the thoughts that were in their hearts and minds. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. I wonder who he could have been referring to, a kingdom and to return. Now the 13th verse, And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. Will you say it with me, everyone? Occupy until I come. Did he mean it when he said it on this occasion? Does he mean it this morning as he speaks to our hearts as individuals and collectively? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said, you know, with 10 pounds, I don't know how much that's worth, but nevertheless, a lot of folks are going to be able to do a whole lot of things with even a meager amount. Praise the Lord. I wonder what I'm going to do. I wonder what you're going to do. We've got kiddos here and teenagers in their proper place, I might add. And young married couples and us great old timers. Who's going to make our stars shine if we don't, huh? We can, we will do a whole lot for kingdom victory. Amen? Now get me started calling for amens here. I told my brother Nolan the other day, I said, you called for amens 42 times. Now I said, I don't need to be asked for amens 42 times. Maybe that's the reason he doesn't ask me to preach in his church as he should. And delivered them 10 pounds. Praise the Lord. He hasn't withheld anything from you, has he? Don't you feel this morning just so full and running over with joy and with blessing? The Lord has been so good to us. Praise the Lord. It seems to me that every word I read here has a sermon in itself. Anyway, and said unto them, occupy till I come. The Lord really had this business of occupying on his mind. It's as though he was saying with his right hand, let's do this. And with his left hand, you know, you're going to figure highly in what's said and ultimately done about this. Praise God. You see, with Jesus, it had started some time ago. In fact, if you'll turn with me to the first chapter of the book of Matthew, and you know right away, we're going to read about Christmas. Praise the Lord. First chapter of Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And let's skip now down to the 19th verse. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. And now let's go down to the 20th verse. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done. It seemed like it might ought to say all this was begun. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, and say it together with me, God with us. So this is the beginning, and Jesus is saying, here's the way it began. Thank the Lord. But I want you to know that we carry on. There was an aggressiveness about Jesus' young life. Praise the Lord. He answered all the questions the great and philosophers and religious types asked, and he meant for his life to open up to become the great salvation of mankind. Praise the Lord. I can imagine that people everywhere began to be very concerned about the aggressiveness of Jesus' type of life. For instance, in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, this is what's going to happen in Matthew 28:18-19. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Hey, this all got started back in Bethlehem. Praise the Lord. But listen to him as he continues in Acts 1:8. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Think of all that we can accomplish if we will occupy the time. I trust this morning that the Holy Spirit is speaking to every one of our hearts about things we ought to be doing, occupying until he comes. Praise the Lord. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. That must have been our Lord himself. And to return, that's exactly what happened. And he called his servants, and who are those servants? Ones who occupy until he comes. Servants ought to be what we are and is what we are today. And said unto them, occupy till I come. Praise the Lord. There is not one sentence, there is not one paragraph in the Word reserved for us to fail. No, they're all there so positive that we can be about the business of occupying until he comes. I believe that, don't you? Praise the Lord. So many things can take place in our lives. Some years ago, the youth camps of South Texas gave me a beautiful award clock. Many of you have seen it. And it's inscribed, of course, concerning Camp Pearl Wheat and Camp Wilder and other camps. This beautiful clock runs in the closest thing that has ever been invented to be perpetual motion. This beautiful clock has run 35 years without anybody having to wind it. All you got to do is just look at it, and it has perfect time. Anyway, of course, if you want to move it, change about, you know, it has a lock on it. You can lock it. But the moment you turn the lock, it starts ticking again. It starts running again. Kind of the way of our lives, is it not? Praise the Lord. Our spiritual lives are to begin at the old-fashioned altars of prayer. Our spiritual lives suffer many attacks of the enemy, but that old clock just keeps right on running. Every day I walk by and I look at that clock, beautiful, beautiful timepiece, and I say to myself, I don't understand how it happens, but that's the way it is. You see, a 2-degree change in the temperature, going up or coming down, winds the clock. It is quite amazing. But for 35 years, that clock has never stopped. And it's just as happy to do its job today as it was 35 years ago. I wonder how many of us need that adjustment, that spiritual adjustment, where we need never be worried about. The Holy Spirit just walks by and sees us
so aggressive in God's Word?
Praise the Lord.
Sometimes the Holy Spirit has to kind of adjust us a bit. And that's wonderful too, isn't it? Praise the Lord. We say, Lord, don't worry, I'll never do that again. Praise the Lord. There are those 2-degree changes in our lives, going up or coming down. Going up or coming down. The last thing I had to say to Shirley Whidden, in a nice long talk, we just talked. And I said, you know, Shirley, I believe the greatest experience of our lives can become knowing the presence of Jesus. All through life, we've experienced His glorious presence. But now we will come to those very serious moments whenever we accept His presence and say, Lord, whatever You wish, whatever You want, that's the way it'll be if I have Your presence. The Apostle Paul said, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't make any other way toward victory. He didn't supply any other proof for victory. Only You, Lord. Only You. Praise God. Praise God. I thank the Lord for His mercies this morning, don't you? Praise God. Not long ago, I was driving along. Before I got started driving that morning, I turned on the TV for somebody preaching, somebody singing, whatever. Anyway, usually don't have time for that sort of thing. But Dr. Charles Stanley was speaking from the First Baptist Church in Atlanta, and his subject title was How to Control an Inferior Attitude. And I thought, now, that might be a good sermon to hear. But it's not exactly what I feel like this morning. So I turned on to Channel 2, and there was Dr. Young of Second Baptist Church. If I wasn't Assembly of God, I'd be going to Dr. Young's church, I suppose. However, his sermon for that morning was a little bit on the edge, I thought. His sermon title was How to Add Zing to Your Sex Life. And then I felt it was time for me to turn the TV off and get in the car and go to church. So if you don't believe what I'm saying, call Second Baptist Church and ask for the library. They will assure you and they will send you whatever. Nevertheless, so as I traveled along, going down 2920 towards Spring, I passed the Spring Methodist Church. Beautiful, beautiful, modern church. And on the church marquee was this sign: How to Manage Family Finances. Well, I know these three preachers did a real good job preaching on their subjects that Sunday morning. But I said, Lord, that's not the sermon I want to preach. When I get there this morning, I want to preach about Jesus. I said, I believe that people in our churches today and people as the world as a whole are sick and tired of the solutions to everything except sin problems in their lives and their need and knowledge to know of Jesus Christ, who He is and what He is about in our lives. Praise God. Praise God. Coming to church this morning, I said, Lord, I want to preach to them about Jesus. Help me to preach to these people about Jesus. Praise God. I passed a church not long ago, Graceview Baptist Church up near Tomball, Highway 249. On their church sign, it said the schedules for the Sunday morning service. They're at 8 a.m., traditional Baptist worship. 9:30 a.m., modern Baptist worship. I said, thank goodness the Baptists are not leaving us far behind. Praise the Lord. I want to preach to you about Jesus. Amen. My brother has taken his congregation through the book of Romans a dozen times. And I said, Nolan, the book of Romans is there for a very specific purpose. But you know, let's get back to the life of Jesus. I want to hear something Jesus said. I want to know what to do with that something that Jesus said. I want to know what the accomplishments can be of what Jesus said. In other words, I want to occupy until He comes. And the only way I know to spiritually occupy, to keep a grip, praise the Lord, is to know more about Jesus. More about Jesus would I know. Praise His wonderful name. So from the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, praise the Lord. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we have all about Jesus that you're going to pert near learn anywhere else in the Holy Bible. No, I don't put down Romans, Ephesians, Galatians, 1st and 2nd this and 1st and 2nd that. They tell us beautifully and wonderfully how to operate the church of Jesus Christ. Sometimes even quoting His words. Praise the Lord. But oh, I love those red letter words. Don't you? Praise God. Problem is here this morning, mine are yellow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The fifth chapter of the book of Matthew. And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came to Him. Praise the Lord. It's that coming to Him, I warn you, it's that coming to Him that's going to get you into a whole lot of trouble with the devil. Amen. I can imagine Jesus turned and looked about Him and saw His chosen and said, thank God, haven't lost a one. Amen. Haven't lost a one. Isn't it a wonderful thing that the Holy Spirit can move in this place this morning and affirm to the ears of the Almighty God, they're here. Their hearts are in tune. Praise the Lord. Occupying until You come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I've just got to my text, and you can follow me right along. We're going to go through this chapter. We're going to go through this entire chapter. Well, there's a lot there to preach about, isn't there? Praise the Lord. Do you want to know anything about Jesus? There's a lot here to learn about. Amen. Praise the Lord. I still don't like to have to drink water during preaching. Maybe I shouldn't be so long. Follow me real quickly as we move along. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. No way you're going to be able to occupy unless you hear these and learn these. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. In the sixth verse, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. All through this chapter, we hear Jesus saying, you're sent forth to occupy until I come. How are you going to do it? With what equipment are you going to use, and what results are you going to expect? The merciful in verse 7. Blessed are the peacemakers in 9. Persecuted for righteousness' sake in 10. Amen. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And people shouldn't be saying and doing those kind of things. Can the righteous say amen? Some of you have about forgotten that you're part of that righteous, aren't you? Praise God. My brother would get all over you if you didn't say amen. He'd make everybody stand and hug. 4 times on Sunday we have stand and hug. I said, Nolan, I've hugged K.D. Kaiser 1 time and that's the end. I know the Holy Spirit's going to have to bring him to the altars. I've lost out. And so, in the 13th verse, Jesus wants to let these people know just how serious he is in having chosen them to be his followers. And he says, you are the light of the world. Can you get a hold of that? Can you believe it? Can you apply it to your lives? Praise God. Jesus is saying, what do you think is going to happen in this dark world in which we live? There's going to be light. Praise God. There's going to be light. And he goes on down to the 15th verse and the 16th verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is what Jesus is talking about whenever he says, let's get aggressive. Let's be aggressive. Praise his wonderful name. Praise the Lord. Now the Lord knows more than anybody what folks are going to have to overcome deep within their own hearts and minds. Here they feel something. It may not be what Jesus wants them to know. Up here they're thinking something, and it may not be what he's wanting them to think. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. You're going to hear a lot of folks talking about me coming and just disrupting the religious thing. But don't think anything about it. Keep your mind on the fact. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now here is the very positive, I mentioned active approach to righteous living. Praise God. The Lord has not come to destroy anything that's good about our lives. Praise his wonderful name. Praise the Lord. But to fulfill himself. I suppose Jesus wondered, I've chosen these people to follow after me. Will they really? Will they today? Here they are. Tomorrow, where will they be? Some will last for a short time and some will go all the way, maybe. I suppose here, as I've supposed all the way through the Gospels, that Jesus is leaving the decision up to me. And he's leaving the decision up to you. Praise the Lord. Now you've heard it said from the 20th verse, the 19th verse, wherever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least of the kingdom of heaven. The Lord is saying here, don't want you to be the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great. Isn't it amazing what you can do with the words of Jesus if you'll just take them one at a time? Or perhaps two. Three in a sequence. It'll just simply stir your heart. Amen. Praise God. The name, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. There is just, there is no way of occupying unless you can come up, and you will, of course, come up against the opposition of the world. Praise the Lord. But Jesus is saying here, you're going to reflect. You're going to think. This is the way Jesus taught us to do it on the Sermon on the Mount. This is the way we'll do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we go down to the 21st verse. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever thou shalt kill shall be in danger of the judgment. The Lord is saying to them, if you're going to successfully occupy, then you're going to have to do some changing in the way you act, in the way you talk, and on and on. I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. You fellows just don't have any idea what cost you're going to have to pay if you're going to follow me. If you're going to follow me. I can imagine some of them must be saying, what in the world? I don't follow. I don't understand. Well, they probably had as much trouble understanding the words of our Lord here as I have with computers. That's a tragedy. Amen. In the 23rd verse, bring your gift to the altar. There rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Leave thy gift before the altar and carry on. Don't stop there. And go thy way. First be reconciled. And then come and offer thy gifts. You've got a long, long way to go, Jesus continues to say to these disciples. A long, long way to go. But you're going to make it. Praise the Lord. You can, and you're going to make it. Remember, Jesus is saying to them, we're not destroying the law. We're fulfilling the law. If I'm the one that's going to have to pay the big price for that saying, you're surely going to have to pay the big price for it as well. And they all did, didn't they? Precious Lord. Precious Lord. We go to the 27th verse. You've heard that it said of them of old time, and he repeats, what you've heard of old time will have to be changed to what you hear of a new time. Amen. I said to someone the other day, you just cannot believe the changes that are taking place in the world of commerce today. I don't even understand commercials on TV anymore. I cannot figure them out. Well, once in a while, maybe not even Coke or Pepsi. Anyway, changes are taking place everywhere. We go to all the different types of churches with funerals, and you'll just find the strangest changes taking place. You just say, I know the Catholics don't believe in doing that. I know the Assembly of God and so forth. I was driving the limo not long ago after a beautiful Catholic funeral service over here at Prince of Peace Community. And three dear, sweet old ladies, members of the family, of course, riding in the back of the limo, and they were just chatting up a storm about the service and so forth. And one of them said, just so perplexed, said, oh, can you believe singing Amazing Grace in a Catholic church? She was just outdone completely. I wanted to say, lady, changes are taking in all churches in this last day. Very true. Very true. But everywhere in the world, the Lord is saying here, you're going to have to be aggressive if you keep up with being a Christian. Whatever happened to just being a Christian and then just sit down and do nothing? Well, Jesus is saying it's not going to be that way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ye have heard it said to them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, here's the way I'm going to do it. Here's the way I'm going to do it. That should have perked every ear. That should have opened every heart. The way Jesus is going to do it is the way I'm going to do it. Yeah. It's not easy done, is it? There are those times when it's just not easy done. I've had people in council say to me, well, Brother Akers, we prayed about it. We prayed about it. And my response to that is, well, good day. It's nice knowing you. We don't have anything further to talk about, do we? You know, I've never short-circuited God that I know of. I'm not going to step into a situation like that and say, no, you didn't pray. No, you didn't hear prayer. Anyway, our Lord is saying here, it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife and so forth and so on, everybody seems to have their own idea of how this thing should be done. Life. Jesus is saying to these people, here is the way I'm going to do it. Now you can make your choice, of course. Do whatever you want to do. Do whatever you want to do. But if you're going to follow me, and if we're going to occupy according to the parable that I read just a few moments ago, then you're going to have to hear my words. You're going to have to follow me. You will have the victory. We've not come to destroy the law. We've come to fulfill it. Believe me, Jesus is saying, when we go about occupying in the manner of the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter of Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, we will be able to shout with the Apostle Paul, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Praise God. In the 38th verse, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, it's going to be different. That ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. You folks know these verses as well as I do. But have you forgotten perhaps that the individual decision is wont to be made here and over here, and this verse and this verse? And it goes on, doesn't it? I say unto you, the 44th verse, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Thank God we just got through an election time, didn't we? Somehow or other. Love your enemies. Hardest thing in the world. Hardest thing in the world. And there are times when we feel so justified, we'll just go ahead and hate their guts. Pardon the King's English there. Jesus said that way we will never fulfill the law. How you disciples think we're going to turn this thing around? How are we going to make something of it? Precious Lord, when the landowner comes to claim his property, are we going to have talent galore just to reimburse with great interest and so forth? You've heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. And this chapter goes on to the 47th verse, and if you salute your brethren only, what will you do? What do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? In that little verse of Scripture, the Word tells us that we are responsible to do more than others. The world may not be able to follow any of this Sermon on the Mount, but God's people His chosen disciples did. You and I can do it. Amen.
Amen.
We will do it. By the grace of God, I've heard people say, oh, I just wish the rapture would take place. Tired of occupying? Huh? I'm getting to where I preach like my brother. He'll get right down in your face. He'll put a stop to that. Anyway, this beautiful sermon on the Mount, I said 5, 6, and 7. 5 is the introduction. Amen. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you can't take this, how are you going to take 6 and 7? Amen. He wanted his introductory remarks to make a place in their hearts and lives, cause them to make decisions that they would never, never forget. And the scripture concludes, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Oh, what does it mean by perfect? What does it mean? Who cares? Praise the Lord. With Jesus walking along beside us, with Jesus speaking to our hearts from day to day, praise the Lord. Who's worried about perfect or unperfect? Amen. Hallelujah. There's a life of victory to live. Praise God. And you're living it, I'm sure. And God's given you grace and courage to continue right on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've just got oodles and gobs of good teaching here. 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus warns us about the last days. And he says they'll go out here in the wilderness. And they'll cry out, Jesus is here. It's over here, you know. They'll be over here, out in the wilderness. What does that out in the wilderness mean? It means folks doing strange things. It means folks pulling more gimmicks than you can ever imagine. It means folks that are just absolutely lying to take place of what could be the reality of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you stand with me, please? Praise the Lord. Praise God. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Amen. To me, that verse of Scripture is so beautiful of our Lord coming. Praise God. Came into this far country. God help us. Your grandkids will be sailing off to Mars. Who knows what else in the years to come. Yes, amen. To receive for himself a kingdom and to return. I'll tell you one thing. When he comes, he'll be looking for those that walked right out of the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew and said, Jesus, here I am. I'll go all the way. Praise God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your sweet presence. We thank you, Lord, and love you because you're faithful and because you never fail us. You're there with us night and day. We feel your presence, Lord. Oh, precious Lord, we'd rather have your presence than the best doctor in town. We'd rather have your presence, Lord, than be kin to Bill Gates. We'd rather have your presence, Lord, than all this world has to offer in fame and fortune. Your presence, Lord, in Jesus' name. Speak to that one here this morning that is so desperately crying out from deep within, crying out for Jesus, Jesus' help. Oh, merciful God, Jesus' forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' beautiful, wonderful companionship. Have your way, I ask, Lord. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Christians are praying. Believers are believing. Amen. I wonder if there are those this morning who just simply lift your hand and say, Brother, I believe you preach the truth. I believe that the Lord is speaking to our hearts this morning to follow him. I want to follow Jesus. I want to come to know Jesus
as my personal Savior. Amen. Would you raise your hands, please? God bless you, my friend. Are there others this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your holy presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, it's always and always will be the ministry of the Holy Spirit to open the door to the great throne room of God's mercies. We just turn this service to you now and ask your blessings, dear Lord, upon every man, woman, boy, and girl in this service today. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. Amen.